Let's take our Bibles, please, tonight and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We've been doing a series together on resting in the Lord. And this has been a time of teaching for myself, as well as I hope a time of learning for all of us in regard to this matter of resting in the Lord. I received a tremendous letter from Bill Farrington written by Hudson Taylor to his sister back in 1869, and Lord willing, in the near future, I'll share part of that letter with you. But it was his coming to grips with the need to rest in the Lord and the struggles that he had in China over this very issue of learning to rest in the Lord and what peace it brought to his heart. He was working so hard and diligently to try to make sure that all of his I's were dotted and his T's were crossed, and he was laboring to try to exercise faith. And he said, all I was doing was straining myself. And he said, I had to come to grips with the fact of just resting in the Lord, realizing that He was the author and finisher of my faith, that He was the one that we were to rely on and rest on. And he said, when he came to that place, his ministry was transformed. And the letter was written to his sister because he was burdened for her that she might know the same rest. Isn't that a beautiful challenge? I could not help but think, here's a man in China, separated by thousands of miles from his sister, and he pens this long, lengthy letter to her, concerned about her spiritual condition. You know, today we are in the Facebook generation and email generation, and the last thing many times that are on our minds are spiritual matters, I'm afraid. We spend a great deal of time talking about this appointment, that appointment. We're talking about what happened with our day. We're sharing every little detail about what we did today and where we went shopping and every coupon that we used. And we put that out there for everybody in the world to see. I mean, billions and billions of words used every day. And I wonder how much of it has any spiritual impact at all. You know, have you ever thought about that? Because every idle word is going to be brought into account. Every idle word. And so we need to examine our hearts. Or when we use social media, are we concerned about those on the other end, their spiritual need? And making sure, are we tempering every word that we type out with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God leading in that? I wonder sometimes how much truth there is in that. So you and I need to examine ourselves. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we began last week to look at the record of Asa. Asa had such a good report in the beginning. You go back two chapters to chapter 14 in 2 Chronicles, and what a testimony of resting in the Lord. The Ethiopians had come against the children of Israel, and Asa immediately goes to God and declares unto him, we read back in chapter 14, and Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, in verse 11, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on Thee. What a testimony. O Lord our God, and in Thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against Thee. And what did God do? Oh, He gave him a powerful victory over the Ethiopians. And God received the glory and the praise. And you know, when you read that passage, you're cheering for Asa. Amen? Well, you just rejoice with him. What a testimony that even though he had overwhelming odds against him, he went to his God and he threw himself. He said, God, it's nothing with you. Whether we have chariots and arms on our side, it's nothing for you to give us the victory, or if we have no power at all. All power and victory come from you. And he says, we rest on thee. And that's exactly what he did. And God gave him the victory. And that was a wonderful thing. But as we read on and we get into chapter 16, we find that Asa was not consistent. And that leads us to a very important lesson that you and I need to have. There is no magic hocus-pocus potion that you and I have poured upon us that whenever something good in our lives takes place and we rest in the Lord, that we will continue to do so. This is the problem, I think. Sometimes we say, well, I relied on the Lord back then, and so it's all taken care of. I want to tell you something. You have just one issue that you need to keep in your mind, and that is your heart. As you grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, your heart never changes. Now, this is something that you need to get a hold of. Our heart is still deceitful and wicked until our heart stops beating and we move into the presence of the Lord. Now, as a Christian, we walk in the Holy Spirit of God and we gain greater victories over our heart. By walking in His power and walking in His strength and relying upon the Word of God, we can gain victory. And that old man is put down. And the new man stays on the throne like it ought to. But I want to tell you something. You still have that same old heart. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It doesn't gradually perfect over time. Now here's where some of the denominations have gotten so rooted in our culture today. Methodism and Pentecostalism. We deal with this from time to time, where there are people that say, you know what? I've risen to a new plane in my Christian life. I've gotten victory over sin. Well, just that statement tells everybody that you haven't. What you've done is you've deceived yourself. I want to tell you something. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ at age 14. But you know what? I still have to get up every morning and die daily. Every day, die daily. I still have that same old wicked heart. And I'm thanking the Lord that in His grace He's allowed me to walk with Him since age 14, 1978. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ right back here in the radio room. I walked up front and I said, I've got to get this matter settled. I'd walked the aisle up and down these rows for years, making professions of faith, but I had no confidence that I was saved. But that night, I got it settled once and for all. And the Lord has allowed me by His grace to walk. But I want to tell you something. Todd Brainerd still has the same old wicked heart. And you have the same old wicked heart. Don't believe all of this stuff out there today. This second blessing stuff. We've got the Roy Hessianism starting to creep its way back into the culture. I get letters all the time from folks saying, our preacher has gone off on Roy Hessian. What can you tell us about this? It doesn't sound biblical. And I send them writings and materials that I've written on it over the years. But it's this idea. He announced, this pastor up in Pennsylvania announced to his church that he had risen to the highest plane possible. And one of the ladies in the church after church came up to her. She wrote me a letter. She said, would you tell me about this plane? I can't find it in my Bible. And he said, oh, it's a blessed plane. The Holy Spirit of God has given it to me. And she said, well, I'm searching in my Bible. I don't find anything. He said, well, you may not find it there, but I know it's true because I've experienced it. Let me tell you something. Experience never trumps the Bible. Never trumps the Bible. Now, praise God, we can grow in Him. We have the Holy Spirit that we walk with every day. But your heart is still wicked. And until we get our new bodies and we stand in His presence and we have a body like unto His glorious body, then we'll be delivered. Amen? We'll be delivered from that. But until then, you better get your heart and mind in this book. And you better study it, and you better allow the Holy Spirit of God to take this Word and drench your soul and your heart with the Word of God, because you will be deceived if you start thinking you've reached the highest plane possible. It's just pride that says that. Who was the judge that determined that? I told the lady, I said, well, who was the judge that determined that he had reached that high plane? And she said, well, he did. He's the only one capable of doing that, evidently. What's wrong with that? I don't find that in the Bible. I don't find a self-exam program where you can go in and you can rate yourself with God and the Holy Spirit shared, all right, ding, 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 the bell goes off. You've reached the highest level. I get these messages on my computer all the time. You'll click onto an email, and all of a sudden it pops up. You're the winner today. All right, that's great. What did I just win? If you go to this website and you fill out this survey, you'll get this free thing. Or they'll send you an email that says, claim your new laptop. How many of you have gotten one of those? Now, wouldn't that be nice if you got a free laptop, claim your new? But you know what? It's nothing but hook and crook. And you're deceived. The best thing for you to do is learn how to hit the delete button. When you see, well, you won something. No, I didn't. Delete. Because it's not, you're going to have to do something, and you're going to be having spam for the rest of your life from these people. I don't like to eat spam anyway. But then you have to have it on your computer. That's twice as bad. You know, just learn how to hit that delete button. And I'm going to tell you something. Your heart will deceive you and make you think that you're a spiritual giant. That you've reached the plateau that nobody else has ever reached but you. Let me tell you something. What you've reached is another level of pride. And what you're going to do is you're going to travel down the same road as Asa. You're not resting. You're not resting in God. You're resting in yourself. What happened to Asa over those years? From chapter 14 to chapter 16, what happened in the 36th year of his reign? He got into trouble. He had been living, not resting in the Lord, but just resting on his abilities, his power, his smarts, his savvy. He'd gotten pretty good at this king thing over the years. You know, you can get good at doing certain things. You know, whenever I successfully send an attachment with an email, I think I've done something. Because I've had so many come back, Todd, whatever that attachment was, it wasn't attached. And I start hollering at my computer, what did you do? But it wasn't my computer's fault, it was my fault. I didn't attach it properly. I didn't wait for it to come up and pop up the little green arrow that comes up now in my AT&T mail. It's now attached. All right? So I go back and I do it again. That's a major accomplishment for me. But I would not put myself, I'm not going to go out and put a shingle out here on the front of the church that says, Todd Brainerd, pastor and computer guru. They're already laughing out here. Already laughing. That's not true. I might as well put nuclear physicist on there as to put that. Just because I sent an email with an attachment does not make me a computer guru. You watch these kids today. I mean, it's amazing what they can do. They can text without even looking. They've got it down. You know, they're just going at it, you know, and I'm going beep, beep. My big old thumb hitting 5 and 6 buttons there, and I've got words I don't even know what I just spelled. But you see, what happens, Asa got pretty confident in this king thing. He'd been down the road. He knew how to do it. So whenever the enemy came up, what did he do? They didn't have email back then. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have instant communication. So he went and got one of his boys that was in the palace there, send a message off to my friend, the Assyrian king, and let him know I need a big favor right now. I need him to go up against the northern part of Israel, Samaria, and I need him to take care of business, take him off into captivity there, so I can get this northern kingdom off of my doorstep. They had come down and were building defense cities against the southern part of Israel. And he knew if he didn't get it stopped, he was toast. So what does he do? Does he go back to the Lord like he had done when he faced the Ethiopians? Absolutely not. Because now he's good at the king thing. He's done it for so long, he could do the king thing with his eyes closed. He could close his eyes and give orders, and servants would hop, skip, and jump and go do his every bidding. He was pretty good at that. So what does he do? He says, you know what, I'm going to call in one of my favors. I'm going to clip a coupon here, and I'm going to get some help. And he did. That Assyrian king comes down there. He wipes out Samaria. They leave that the building of those cities, fenced cities against Israel. They go running back to face the Assyrians. And so what does Asa do? He sends out all of his troops. They rush up there. They grab all the materials that they were using to build, take it down, and they bring it down south and build a bunch of defense cities with all those materials. Boy, wasn't that a smart thing to do? Pat yourself on the back, Asa. You did the king thing good. And then there was a prophet that came along and spoiled the whole thing. Look at verse 10. Then Asa was wroth with the seer. Hanani, the seer, in verse 7, came to Asa the king and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. Now, by the way, three times the word rely is used here. It's the same word over here in chapter 14 that's translated in verse 11. For we rest on thee. Same word. You rested on the king of Syria. You didn't rest on the Lord. Therefore, the Assyrians are escaped out of your hand. You didn't trust in the Lord. You trusted in your own hand. Verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. We learned something about God here that I don't want you to miss. Are you listening? We learn that God occupies time scanning the earth, looking for his people that are trusting in him, that are resting in him. Why does he do that? Because he wants to show himself strong in their behalf. But he's only looking for those that are resting in him, relying. God was scanning the earth that day, looking for those who would rely upon him, and there was a king that did not. He instead relied upon his people skills. He relied on his kingly skills, his savvy, his ability to make things happen. You know those kind of people that can make things happen? You call in a favor here. You make something happen here. You get good at that. That's what Wall Street, you watch those men that are out on Wall Street every day. They're making things happen. Billions of dollars exchanged hands today. There were men on the stock exchange floor that made things happen. But I want to tell you something. God is scanning the earth, and he's looking for his dear saints that are resting and relying on him. How about it today? Were we resting and relying upon him? Asa was not. God said, out of all the people in the world that day, he noticed something. Asa wasn't relying upon him. You need to know that about God. You need to understand that about him. Every day, 24/7, he is scanning the earth, looking at his children. Which ones are relying upon me, and I'm going to show myself strong in their behalf? Oh, we could give testimony after testimony after testimony of dear saints of God that have known the powerful hand of God in their behalf, because they were simply resting in him. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? Now that shows us several things. Number one, we shared with you last week, a good record, and Asa had a good record, no question about it. He was a good king. He had done that which was right. He got rid of the high places. He destroyed the idols in the land. Boy, he had done a good job as king. A good record does not mean insulation from wrongdoing. We studied that last time. I'm not going to belabor the point. But you and I need to understand that we don't come in our 36th year of being king and be insulated from wrongdoing. We find that this good king did that which was wrong. So resting is something that's daily. It's daily. You've got to get up and you've got to own the Lord Jesus Christ and you've got to rest in him. I want you to see, secondly, tonight, and just in the few minutes that we have left here, that a good record does not mean we will rest daily in the Lord till the end. A good record in the past does not mean that we will rest daily in the Lord till the end. What it means is that you and I, by God's grace, have to rest in Him every day. We've got to determine, all right, Lord, today, I don't know what's in store. I have no idea. You know, we read about folks all the time that pass off this earthly scene. I remember a number of years ago, a young man that I went to school with at Bob Jones, Chris Babcock, traveled with Barry Webb, evangelistic team. Chris was married, had two young children at the time. One was 3 and the other one was 2, I believe. And Chris Babcock was home in Maryland at the time, had a massive brain aneurysm. He was 26. His wife came home from shopping, found him laying on the floor. She ran over to him. A very faint pulse was there. She called the ambulance to come and get him, took him to the hospital. They did a brain scan. Nothing. Just the brain stem was working. The doctor said, "With your permission, Mrs. Babcock, we'd like to try to see if we can go in and open up the arteries there, see if we can restore blood to the brain. Maybe something will happen." She gave permission. They performed the operation. Nothing happened. 2 days later, he went into the presence of the Lord, 26 years of age. Now, I praise God that he was a believer in Christ. But none of us are promised a tomorrow. None of us are promised to live to be 80, 90, 100 years of age. So we've got to determine by God's grace that today I'm going to live for Him. And tomorrow I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to rest in Him. Because when you start to put it on autopilot, you get into trouble. That's what Asa did. He rolled from dependence on God when the Ethiopians came to dependence upon himself, and I don't think Asa had a second thought about it. I think in his own mind he thought, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. I've gotten good at this. All this time has passed and I know what to do now. I don't have to rely upon the Lord. I don't have to rest in Him. And so click, order, order, order. The Assyrians go up against Samaria, take care of the problem. He sends his people up. They get all the stones and the rocks and all the building materials. They bring it back down. Everything looks great. And Hananiah the seer shows up and tells him it was all wrong. And how did Asa respond? With a repentant heart? With a desire to get things right with God? No, verse 10. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. In other words, he took his anger out on the seer, and then he went after some of the people and started to oppress them. That's somebody that's relying upon their own savvy. That's somebody that's relying upon their own ideas and how things should be done. That's not somebody resting. What had happened? What had happened since the last time? He'd stopped resting. That's what happened. He had stopped resting. Good people that know the Lord can stop resting in Him on a daily basis. Now, this is important, folks. You don't reach plateaus in the Christian life where everything becomes automatic. Oh, no. You must walk with the Holy Spirit every day. You must seek His presence every day. You must die daily every day. That's what Paul said. I die daily. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, Lord, I die to myself today. Lord, I want to rest in Thee in every decision. I don't know what phone call or text message or email I'm going to receive today that will change my life. Just like Mrs. Gonzalez, about 10 months ago, got a message from a doctor. Your son is riddled with cancer, 12 years old. Don't you know that was life transforming? Fought best of their ability. We prayed with them. She prayed. Their church prayed. And we sounded like good news at Christmas time, and then the bad news came. And now he's in the presence of the Lord. You don't know what a day may bring. And so you must get up in the morning and you must die to yourself and you must rest in Him and allow God to do His perfect work in your heart and life. rather than you going out and doing it yourself. I've learned something from my personal study of 2 Chronicles. Good men can go wrong and pay an awful price. What did God send to King Asa? A terrible foot disease. A disease that would not allow him to be able to walk and survey his country anymore. Where his feet were not allowed to stroll around the palace grounds and take in all the beauty of what he possessed as king. He was confined to bed, and we learn from 1 Kings that his son had to come in and serve the last 3 years of his reign as a co-regent because he was not able to make decisions. The disease had progressed so. Why did that come? It came because he stopped resting. He stopped resting. Now, Lord willing, next time we're going to continue in this because I've got a few more things that I want to share concerning resting every day. What that means. What does it mean to rely on the Lord? What does it mean to seek the Lord? It's not complex, and I'm not going to give you a six-step formula that you can follow and you can have this. This is a matter of the heart. This is a matter of dependence upon the Holy Spirit, and we want to get into that, Lord willing, in future times. But I hope and pray that you might realize that there's nothing automatic about the Christian life. It's a daily dying to self. It is a daily seeking of the Holy Spirit. Teachers, don't you dare walk into a classroom and attempt to teach the children that God has sent to you without bathing that day in prayer and dying to self and relying and resting upon Him. As leadership, as positions where you're at in the world, maybe you're a business person or maybe you're occupied you better not enter into your daytime as a Christian and say, you know what, I'm going to wing it today. I've got good savvy in my business. I know what to do. I've got everything down. I've studied this business world and I know what to do. Let me tell you, self-confidence is destruction. Confidence in Christ is edification. Where we walk by faith and not by sight. Walking by faith, and that's what resting is, by the way. It's walking by faith and not by sight. Lord, help us in that regard, and may we grow in that understanding as God's people.